reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
What's going on, guys? I know I'm going a little bit early today. Had a little bit of a scheduling mishap, but it was probably my fault. I don't know. Anyways, welcome to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I got a guest that is going to be on the show. You know him. He's been a longtime sponsor and supporter of the content that I'm putting out, Ian Hanna. I wanted to have him on because right now the housing market is a little crazy. Because now it just seems like everything's selling, but I don't know if that's going to slow down or not with how bad things are going. I wonder if the whole Ukraine thing is actually going to mess up the housing market. Or, I don't know, could be a lot of potential Ukrainians coming to the United States that you might be able to sell a house to. A couple of ways you can get a hold of me, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044, or you can leave me an email, Tuttle, T-U-D-D-L-E, at gmail.com. I'll get back with you. But, yeah, I've got the Google Voice up. If you want to call in and you have any questions for my next guest, or you can put them right there in the chat room if you want to. Just got to get this Google Voice up. But my good friend, Ian Hanna, is going to be on, and let me bring him on right now. Yeah, Ian, how are you, my friend?
Good afternoon, Tuttle. How are you?
Good, man. So where are you at right now? You at home? Are you in the office? What's going on? Set the scene here for me.
My office is right here in my home. I'm a one-man show. Real estate anymore, you don't always have to go to the office. So especially after the pandemic started, most real estate offices are pretty empty. Realtors have all started to go online and, you know, do all their, you can do everything through e-signature these days and not have to step out of your house at all.
Man, speaking of signatures and stuff, one of the things I remember on the home that I bought is just like when you think you're finally done, finally signing that last piece of paperwork to get the house, it's like, all right, you got another one here. Like with the electronic signature stuff, can I just wipe that all out in just one signature, or do I gotta like sit there and hit enter on a keyboard and stuff just to be able to sign the paperwork?
You can do a lot of just clicking instead of signing anymore. So it'll still take you, like most of the document e-sign stuff, it just takes you step by step through the entire document. The good thing about it is you can't miss anything with it because the software forces you to go through that stuff. So
yeah. Does it make you miss a signature? Does it make you like scroll through the whole thing? Like when you're like signing one of those like customer discrepancy things, like when you sign up for iTunes or whatever and it's a bunch of just legal BS and you don't even read it, you just scroll through it and then you click yes, I agree to all the terms.
Absolutely. There's a whole book. Usually the good title companies, once you buy a home and you close on it, they'll give you a nice book about this big of all the paperwork that's all done for you to then go probably stick in your attic or lose in your closet.
Yeah, on the line with me right now is my good friend Ian Hanna. He's been a big supporter of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. If you're in the market to buy or sell a home in the Flagler, Brevard, Volusia areas, go to my good friend IanHannaHomes.com. Now, Ian, right now, is it still a seller's market when it comes to the real estate? Like, do you see this thing like switching anytime?
It is still a seller's market. It's hard to say what's going to happen. It's been a long time since we've, you know, been approaching a world war. So the housing market has changed quite a bit since then. So it's hard to say what'll happen. You know, the Fed has raised interest rates a little bit, and they've already announced they're going to continue to raise interest rates. And that's supposed to kind of slow down the seller's market. You know, it'll bring housing prices back down. Mm-hmm. But for now, right now, your house is worth more than it ever has been and has probably gone up, you know, double digit percentages in value in the past 2 years.
Is there a bubble or is it because back in 2008 when they had the bubble back in the day, because everybody was getting homes, it was a big seller's market then too, but they were writing a lot of bad loans back then. Do you think you could see that same type of problem again?
There's too many rails on the loans and on the banks these days. You know, that's one thing. You see more people that don't qualify for a traditional mortgage anymore. So there are people who are continuing to rent. There's a lot of companies out there coming out with some great options where maybe you're a renter and you want to buy a house, but you have nothing to put down. You know, you've got nothing, or maybe you've got some bumps on your credit. Now there's a company that'll come in, they'll buy a house for you in your neighborhood that you want, and they'll rent it to you for 3 years. Every month that you pay your rent, a portion of that will go towards a savings for the deposit when you eventually buy the house at the end of the lease.
What do they call that? I forget what they call it. It's almost kind of like a white trash layaway almost.
It's a rent-to-own situation, mm-hmm. but instead of like where you'd be doing that one-on-one with somebody, you've got a company that comes in and buys the house. So like today I had somebody go on the website, they applied for it, and they got approved for up to $335,000. It gives them their monthly, I think their rent for that was going to be like $2,700 a month. Sounds like a lot, but it's also a $350,000 house that they can go get. Like $400 of that monthly rent payment goes into a savings account. So then at the end of your lease or whenever you want, you can cash out and say, I'm ready to buy the house. And you've got all that money in savings towards a deposit now.
All right. So, but like, if you go that route, what if the seller decides, hey, I don't want to, like, I mean, can you get screwed when it comes to something like that? Or do you get the money, like, if you don't buy the home?
No, if you don't buy the home at like you decide, I don't want it. Maybe you leased it for a year, you want out, you can just walk away from it and you'll get your savings back.
Oh, no kidding. So either way, it's going to be good. Ian, right now, with everything going on, what are some of the bad things when it comes to buying a home right now? Is it because there's just too much competition? Like, I mean, because everybody's wanting to buy something?
A little bit, yeah. Everybody wants to buy something right now. The problem is there's not a lot of homes for sale. It'd be hard for you to sell a house here in Florida and then go buy another house in Florida. Your housing price, you're just going to carry it on to your next house, that inflated price. So it's hard for somebody in Florida right now to move within state, mm-hmm. Because of that. You know, their house might be worth 30% more, but so is the house that they're about to buy.
Right now, IanHannahHomes.com. Right now, Ian, like, give me an example. Like, what is going right now? Like, what are some of the homes right now that you are listing? If people want to check them out, do you got anything on your website right now that people can check out that you are thinking needs to go right now?
I have all the listings I have right now are under contract.
Oh, okay. So
right now I'm looking for people who do want to sell their home here in Florida. You know, if you have an extra property, like maybe grandma died and she's got property around here somewhere, or you have a second house that you want to unload, maybe you've been renting it and you're ready to sell it. That's the kind of seller right now that's going to have a great experience, because they're going to cash out on a house worth, you know, 30 or 40% more than what it was a year ago, and they're not trying to get into something new necessarily.
What about just property though? Like, what if you own land and you don't have anything on it? Is that selling as well too?
Yeah, there's a lot. A lot of people are actually looking in those flyover states across the country, and where there's a lot of open land, and they're investing now. You can buy acres and acres of land for, you know, $3,000, and you sit on it, and eventually the market's going to catch up to it. And, you know, I live here in Palm Coast, and people who bought property here in Palm Coast 10 years ago when Palm Coast was just a fledgling, they were bought whole parcels for $10,000 that they're now selling for, you know, $70,000,
$80,000. So say, you know, after this whole invasion that Russia is doing in the Ukraine, and they're like, man, we are short on, well, say, I don't know why I'm sounding Asian when I say that, but we are short on real estate people. And now I sound like caveman. Let's get a hold of Ian Hannon. Ian Hannah, and we can get him to come over here. Like, you could be like selling like bombed out like buildings. You'd be like, look, man, this building, yes, it's been shelled quite a bit, but it still has plenty of potential. We have a very motivated seller. Yeah, we maybe have a mass grave in the back of the building, but, you know, I mean, it's Ukraine. This is how we're going to do it. Like, I could see you cleaning up, going over to Ukraine for a little bit there.
If they have property to sell, I can sell it, but I don't foresee myself going over there right now.
Well,
maybe if some of the refugees want to come on over here and cash in. I just hope those suitcases they're carrying are full of some money, because that's going to be an expensive trip.
Ian, Johnny Slumlord Fozzie. Well, guess what, man? You got to do what you got to do. Everybody's like blowing me up right now, but have you seen, like, I know you're a big drone guy. I could see, man, I bet you could get some good video footage, like, flying your drone. Well, no, there's no telling. Some Ukrainian or Russian may shoot it out of the sky, but it's pretty amazing, some of the videos that we're getting from some of the war combat, from just people that have got drones and stuff over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm a drone guy, I'm always watching like television commercials and stuff like this, you know, live coverage.
How would you shoot it?
Ukraine, or, you know, all the footage of a natural disaster. And I'm like, oh, that's a drone shot. Oh, that's a drone shot. That's a drone shot. Or when they do the NFL games, you know, the right before the game when they're doing all the talks with Terry Bradshaw, they're catching him on drone shots outside. I look at them all like that.
Yeah. Have you discovered that they're overusing that video shot now at all the sporting events, where it's like, what it does is it focuses on the picture itself and blurs out the background. I really think that they're overusing that video shot now. It just seems like they're just doing it all the time.
Yeah, and I don't know how they're doing it too. It looks really good, but yeah, it's got that blurred background, and they'll circle around a player as if they have like a tiny drone just chasing them out there on the field.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with my wife about that about three games into the season. I'm like, man, I'm seeing this on every channel too, in every game.
Let me ask you, how good are you at flying the drone, Ian? Because I've actually seen some of the races and stuff that they've been doing. Not racist drone flyers. I'm talking about racist. Like, they're racing drones and stuff. I mean, do you think you'd be good at that, or are you just slow and steady?
No, I'm a photography guy. I'm pretty good at flying a drone, but I don't do any of the racing drone stuff like that. I have a pretty standard, you know, photography drone. It's still got some pretty good wheels on it. I mean, it'll do about 50 miles an hour, and it'll get 3 or 4 miles of range on it. So I could sit 2 or 3 streets over from your house and come get pictures of it without getting out of my car.
Oh man, I'm gonna definitely have to figure that out. Any big real estate news stories in the news right now, or anything going on with that? Do you see anything around the corner, and anything that buyers and sellers need to look out for that you see happening in the future?
There's one thing that is always just never going to change in real estate, and that's uncertainty. It's always going to be uncertain. There's never been anybody who's been able to call it, this is what the market's going to do, this is what's going to happen. So I think the biggest story right now is the uncertainty. You know, we're having a wartime crisis here in the world, and it's causing our country a huge economic impact. And that we haven't seen in decades. So that's the kind of thing we're not really prepared for. We don't know what's going to happen until it happens.
Can the oil prices affect home prices? Because you got to think about delivery cost and getting materials to a job site and stuff. Like, I mean, that could really, really happen. You know, my friend Fozzie, he's a big listener, and this is actually a great question. Have you checked out any of the metaverse stuff with Facebook? You know, like, they're buying and selling properties now on the metaverse. Like, I mean, Fozzie, you know, he probably is most likely trying to make a joke there, but I swear to God, yeah. I mean, it might be something you might want to look into, because I don't know, like, are you going to have to get a real estate license to sell real estate in the metaverse?
For now, you don't, and people are taking advantage of that, and a lot of companies. The problem is there's a million metaverses, it seems like, and they're all selling real estate at the same earth. They're just got their own virtual earth. So I don't know how they're all going to overlap and combine one day, but I guarantee it will be just like you never thought somebody was going to sell the old digital hot dog NFT 10 years ago. Now they're buying it.
I mean, isn't that crazy that there could be one day real estate people that are selling property in a metaverse? Like, I mean, that's something that I never would have thought of. You know, like, when you think of what the future is going to be like, we all were like, oh, man, we're going to have flying cars, and we're going to have little food pills that we can take, and we're not going to have to eat meals anymore. I don't know why when I talk like another American, I get all very Southern with it. But what I'm trying to say, though, is, like, never in a million years I would be like, hey, guess what? We're going to live in this metaverse that this nerd is created, and they did a movie about him. Justin Timberlake played one of his buddies. Andrew Garfield, the guy that played Spider-Man. Yeah, I mean, Zuckerberg is got his own little sandbox now, and let's make some money off of it. Hell yeah, let's start setting up signs and stuff for you, Ian, telling people, go check out Ian Hanna Homes. If you're in the market to buy or sell a house in Flagler, Brevard, Volusia, and the metaverse, check out my good friend Ian Hanna.
Absolutely, we'll get you done.
Yes, I mean, Fish on Jace has made Meta, please, such nonsense, dumb. I mean, I agree with you, Fish on Jay. This is another question that popped into my head, and I know that I'm kind of blowing it, like, with a bunch of questions the first time I have you on. You were talking about having to prove your finances and stuff. Like, okay, so let's say you get a drug dealer or something, somebody that buys her money or makes her money and deals in a lot of cash and stuff. Like, all right, you know what? Let's go something a little bit more legal. A stripper. Let's say a stripper that is making a lot of cash that, you know, they're not putting in the bank and stuff. Is that hard, or, like, are there workarounds to be able to get somebody approved for a loan that deals in a, you know, a cash base payment system? Like, even waitresses.
There isn't, but that same program I was telling you about earlier, bro, they'll come in and they'll buy a house for you and mm-hmm. rent it to you to own later. The main focus with them is on people that don't have verifiable income. You can't get a mortgage unless if you're
not anymore. Not after what happened in 2008.
You have to have 2 years of verifiable income. So if you're a small business owner or a realtor or anybody like yourself, you know, who's self-employed, it's tough to buy a house. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with the program that I was talking about earlier, they'll buy the house for you. They'll buy it cash straight off the market. You can pick whichever house you want, and they'll get you in it for 3 years. And then that amount of time, or even if just after 1 year, you have enough verifiable income at that point to buy the house, you can go ahead and cash out early and buy it off of them.
And though, like, the people that do that, what kind of risk are they taking whenever they are buying a home and they're not getting background checks? Do people get burned by these type of deals?
Well, because it's like a rent to own option, the company is stepping in and taking all the risk from everybody. So the company that buys the home for you takes all the risk. You're just renting the home from them with an option to buy it at the end.
Okay. I got you. All right, Ian.
Because there's nothing out there to rent right now, you can go pick whatever house you want that's for sale off the market, and they will buy it for you to rent it to you. So just a lot of new programs like that out there.
Well, Ian, man, I really do think that the audience, because, you know, I didn't want to have you on just to be like a infomercial to try to help you sell homes. I wanted to be able to offer some content. You know, that's why, I don't know, my questions were probably dumb to ask on this episode. But I tried to come up with some good questions to at least make myself sound smart.
No comment.
Well, Ian, man, I really appreciate it. Like I said, if you're in the market to buy or sell a home, in the Volusia, Flagler, Brevard areas, go to IanHannaHomes.com. He helped my mom out tremendously when she bought her place here. And, Patrick Elmore says good segment. So, you know, like, I you know, there's a lot of this stuff that people don't know. What I meant to say is, like, if you guys ever have any questions, send them. Email me, tuttle@gmail.com, and I will ask Ian the next time that I have him on for this. So make sure you go to IanHannaHomes.com. Ian, I really do appreciate it. Do you have any closing words for the Tuttle Daily Podcast supporters?
No, man. I appreciate you having me on, Tuttle. Thank you very much. If you want to get a hold of me, hit me up at my website. You get my phone number there, and you can reach out.
All right, Ian, man. I hope you have a wonderful night. It looks like it's raining wherever you are right now as well, too.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
All right, Ian. I hope you have a wonderful night, and I appreciate all the support, okay?
Yeah, man. Talk to you later.
All right. See ya. Bye. All right. So thanks to my good friend, Ian Hanna. No, I don't want to ban him from the studio. Kick guest. There we go. All right, guys. So I don't know how long I'm going to go for today. I really don't want any of you guys to, like, think that this is a pain in my ass. It's not. It's just, I don't know if it's because of the weather that I just been in a down mood. I don't know. Like, it's just one of those days. And, you know, the funny thing about it is that, especially as a man, I'm not saying that men and women have it equally or they don't have it equally, because, I mean, women have their own problems as well too, but there is a stigma when it comes to guys. When you're in a shitty ass mood or something, you can't do that. It's like, you're a man, suck it up, be happy. Especially living in the South, I'm telling you. Yeah, exactly, Fozzie. It's like, you know, I'm being professional, I'm coming on and I'm doing myself, but maybe I'm not being professional by telling you that, hey, this isn't how I really feel. I'm putting on some type of mask for you right now. That's not the case. So I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't, but that's also the thing that I always wanted this to be about, because I wanted to be open and honest and real. Fozzie coming in with $5. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. I hope your dog bite call is doing a little bit better. Thank you, Fozzie. What is that red circle around your cheek there? I can't look that closely. Almost looks like a mole. But back to what I was saying, it's like, there is a stigma when it comes to you being a guy, especially living in the South, not South America, but South region of the United States of America. You look like a big ass pussy. And I'm coming on and doing this stuff. You know, I talked to one of my friends the other night. This person deals with their own set of issues. It's like, you know, I really think that we just need to be a little bit more just patient, a little bit more kind. But the thing is that, like, people just not have no compassion. And before you blow up on somebody, or before you get all bent out of shape, or somebody cuts you off, and I don't want you guys to think that I'm perfect, because I'm not. I'm not perfect. Because there's sometimes I will just fly off the handle for no reason at all. And then I try to stop myself. I try to stop myself, and it's like, look, it's not worth it. Why are you letting that person control how you feel? Only person that, oh, got somebody calling in here. Oh, I can almost guarantee you. I know who this is. But this is Mr. Fozzie. Foz? What up, Foz?
What's up, PF? How's it going, buddy? Yeah, I had a little something to weigh in on your show. You were talking a little bit about patience and exhibiting a little patience in things with our fellow man, if you will. And I had to exhibit some patience this morning, brother. I'm kind of strung out on DoorDash. Are you with me? Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you fine, man.
Yeah, so I'm kind of strung out on this DoorDash. I've been kind of laid up with this dog bite for the last few days, which is healing well. Thanks for all the well wishes. Thanks, Fish on
Jay.
Yeah,
like Fish on Jay, man. Like
Fish, that kid.
Fish on Jay was looking out for you, man. He was like wanting to check on you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But listen, so this morning I ordered DoorDash. I'm kind of in the Wendy's on the Wendy's breakfast, man. If you get a chance to get yourself a Wendy's.
Is it really that good? Wait, hold on. Is the Wendy's breakfast really that good, though? Like, I've heard,
all I can speak for is the Wendy's breakfast Baconator. So it's the Baconator sandwich, but it's the breakfast gimmick. And, man, it's got
instead of beef,
egg,
it's sausage?
It's got the sausage. Oh, it's got the bacon, the cheese. It's got everything on a soft bun. So I order four of these MFers from DoorDash. And then, you know, I'm watching the little map come. I'm getting excited. And lately, the DoorDash guys have been dropping off my order at a different door. And I'm like, man, where in the... So I have to go down and track down my order at a different door. And that's a different phone call altogether. But anyway, this morning, this guy, he finally gets to my door, and he hands me this little sack that has, like, maybe one item in it. I'm like, what's this? You know, I'm expecting a four Baconators, brother.
Yeah.
And, And they didn't come through. So this guy, he brings me this one package. I'm like, that's not what I ordered, buddy. And I'm showing him my phone. Like, yeah, I've got the four Baconators. I paid this price, X price. And he said, well, he was a foreign fellow. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But he was like, do you want to call? Mm-hmm. I said, no, I want you to call. I was like, I paid $31 for this stuff. Oof. Plus tip. You know, I want you to go back to Wendy's and straighten it out. He was like, I told the guy many times. I was like, I get that. I got that guy. And I said, I don't mean to come off to you as a dick, but I mean, I just spent $31 on four freaking breakfast sandwiches, and you're handing me this sack. And so, okay, he goes off, and then he comes back 20 minutes later. But I was, to your point, I was cool about it. You know, I wasn't being a dick. I was kind of being cool. I understand it. Things like
you don't
that.
Know what that guy's gone that. Through. You don't know, like, if his old lady is busting his balls all day, or, like, he's got kids that are just dicks. You see what I'm saying? Like, he was a man, right? I mean, he was a foreigner. He's probably dealing with the same old type of stuff, you know? Like, you know, you got to...
And if the truth be known, I mean, he's a fellow delivery man. I'm a pizza delivery man to the stars. I mean, he's a fellow delivery guy. So, I mean, I know it's hustle.
You get a lot of dicks, right? You know, yeah, I mean, you guys probably have to deal with a lot of dicks that don't have the patience that I was talking about, correct?
Exactly, 100%. Or some of them, they might stick their effing dog on you. But other than that, so the guy finally does bring my sandwiches back. I give him an extra $5 for his trouble, but it all got settled in the end. So, I mean, kindness rules out.
What's
the
calories like? What's the calories like on one of those Baconators? Because you said you dropped four of them.
Have you seen me, buddy? I'm three bills. I'm not counting calories.
Yeah, but Fozzie, what happened though, man? Like you were eating salads and working out and doing all that stuff. Like, I mean,
I'm just shoot you straight, kid. I mean, it just got away from me a little bit. You know, I'm not looking for a lady and not trying to impress anybody. I'm just living fat with 488, living large, and me and Little Bear and my roommate just chilling and delivering pies, dude. So I'm not out trying to impress anybody.
I could be wrong. Isn't your roommate a chick?
Yeah, she's a chick.
All right, so you don't have to answer any of these questions if you don't want to, Fozzie, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask this, okay? Like, who is the main renter on the home? Like, you are, correct? Like, you got to
be. No, she is. She is 100%.
Now, have you ever been short? Okay, so I was gonna say, hey, has she ever been short? You know, da 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 da. But like, have you ever been short and you were like, you had to maybe do some things?
I'm probably short right now.
Or probably, I'm not talking about short like in areas short. I'm talking about financially short. I'm talking about. No, I know that was bad.
Give yourself a tongue title.
Yeah. There we go. But Foz, though, like, have you, like, had to, you know, lay the wood to pay for rent?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, you asked me this, I think, before when you gave me an interview about 6 months ago on the television.
We got to reset. We got to reset for the audience.
But we did. We hooked up early on in the first month or two. But then, I mean, I realized, we both pretty much realized if we wanted to hang out, you know, she was a great friend. And, I mean, I have to be honest with you. I realized the potential that she's a good roommate, and I could.
You don't want to mess that
nice
up.
Nice room for a sweetheart deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So all right. So like, does she get along with Lil Bear? Because I know you like your dog.
I mean, it's her dog. So I mean, Lil Bear is her dog. We both lived here for a couple of years, and Lil Bear joined us midway through. So Lil Bear is an addition, if you will.
All right, Fozzie. Well, man, I hope you're healing up fine, man. And I'm going to have to try that Wendy's Baconator on the weekend, because I kind of let it go on the weekends.
Do that. Yeah. And actually, two of those Baconators was for my roommate. So, all right, buddy, have a good rest of your show. I love you, buddy.
Love you too, Foz. See ya. Bye. If you want to give me a call, 407-270-3044. Edward Regal, he's in the chat room. He's from Amarillo. I've been getting a lot of new people coming in. There is one story that I wanted to play for you. And actually, you know what? I'm gonna get into this one story first, because I've been putting off some of these like audio stories that I wanted to get into. I don't know how much longer I'm going to go for, but sperm banks, they're struggling to recruit black donors and other donors of color. Industry experts say there has been a shortage for years, and the pandemic has only exacerbated the problem. Big word there. I was able to get to, oh man, I fucking hate the Wall Street Journal. I got burned on this. And I'm sorry. I am not paying to read your bullshit story. And I got to tell you, the Drudge Report, I don't know, like the Drudge Report must be getting a lot of stuff. Pass_a_cold_cold_1. I messed that up completely. But you know what? Fuck the Wall Street Journal. And you know what? I'm getting to the point now where I don't even want to go on the Drudge Report, because they're posting a lot of these Washington Post. Oh, I'm froze up, Willie. God damn it. All right. Am I okay now, guys? There we go. I think I'm all caught up here. Fozzie, I mean, I know that you're not carrying the mail. Foz, I think you would actually be good to carry the mail, delivering the mail. California wildlife authorities and U.S. Postal Service are investigating reports that a mail carrier beat a wild turkey to death in Sacramento County. Now, as soon as I hear wild turkey, I'm like, yeah, okay. Okay. Is wild turkey code for he cracked open a bottle of wild turkey and he beat it? Yeah. I mean, beating it could mean he got down to the bottom of that bottle of wild turkey. And I'll repeat that. California wildlife want to come to Panama in June. Yeah, I mean, I'll hit you up, Patrick. Patrick Elmore there. I'll read that headline again. California wildlife authorities and U.S. Postal Services are investigating reports that a mail carrier beat a wild turkey to death in Sacramento County. I mean, this is definitely something you would think that happened in the Southeast. This happened in California. Witnesses wrote in a post on social media app Nextdoor that a mail carrier, after being accosted by a particularly aggressive turkey, retrieved a pole or stick from his vehicle and used it to fatally beat the bird. Okay, now, I'm sorry. Iggy T. This was not a domesticated turkey. And I grew up on a farm. We had a turkey. And I got to tell you, Iggy T, I love turkeys. I wouldn't, like, go out and beat one. Now, if I was hungry, I would have absolutely no problem killing a turkey. Matter of fact, I probably had to do that when I was a little kid just so my dad could toughen me up a little bit. Yes, I've been chased by turkeys. They will spur the hell out of you. But I got to tell you, it just shows you we live down the middle of nowhere. Yeah, I mean, deadly force might be a little too much. But I tell you, back on the farm in DeLeon Springs, we had a turkey named Harvey. Harvey, we would, once a week, we would eat spaghetti because, you know, white trash loves to eat spaghetti. And we would put the sauce, meat sauce, everything on it. And we usually wouldn't get through all the spaghetti. We of course, would do leftovers. And we would take out the leftover spaghetti that we didn't eat for leftovers and bring it out there. I got to tell you, the funniest thing in the world is to give a turkey spaghetti and with meat sauce on it because the turkey, like, eats the spaghetti. He's like, ka, 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 ka. He's, like, hitting down on it. Oh, I got another call here. Busy night tonight. Let's see who this is. Hey, what's going on? 407. This is the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. You there? Well, I guess that person does not want to call in. But yeah, so the turkey, Harvey, would just like peck. He'd be like peck, 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 peck. I know that looks really, really weird that I'm doing that. It's like, pow, 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 pow. He's like getting after, he's getting it after with the spaghetti. And then he like leans up. You know how birds got to lean back? He would get the spaghetti wrapped around his head and he would like suck it up. Like he would like, and it would just be wrapped around his head. Like he would almost like choke himself with the spaghetti. And then he'd have the meat sauce and marinara sauce like all over it. And it's like, it almost looks like a scene out of The Walking Dead, but with turkeys. And that turkey would sit there and eat that spaghetti. And it was an hour of entertainment watching that turkey down that spaghetti. And the spaghetti, yeah, it's just noodles and butter. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But, yeah, so that just shows you the type of entertainment and people we had around my house. I grew up on a farm. Closest neighbor was 5 miles away. But I guess the wildlife department says we are currently, it is a hideous bird. So bad. I guess the Wildlife Federation or Commission said, we are currently launching a thorough investigation of the innocent. Miko Patton, a local U.S. Postal Service spokesperson, said that in an emailed statement, our employees have had several interactions with aggressive turkeys in the area, including a recent attack on a letter carrier. We've been working with the Department of Fish and Wildlife to mitigate the issue. Okay, so this guy, like, look, a turkey is not going to kill you, but it's also a little bit of a hassle. The post office also writes, however, this allegation is alarming and if true is inexcusable and we do not reflect the efforts of our more than 650,000 employees who faithfully serve and deliver for America every single day. Captain Patrick Foy, a local spokesperson with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, said that his department first received reports of turkey aggression. I'm sorry. This is too funny. Listen to this line. It's like we're talking about like European like aggression, and this is like Russia and Ukraine. The U.S. Postal Service contacted us and said, we are having a huge problem with extremely aggressive turkeys that are actually attacking mail carriers in this one particular area. And they would have thrown the book at it. Yeah. I mean, and then the Postal Service says, when I say attacked, it is physical contact. They are jumping on them. Now, turkeys can get really, really horny. And this is probably a tom. This is probably a tom turkey. He's just wanting to go in. He's just, this turkey is just sexually molesting, raping us as humans. Foy said his department sent a wildlife officer out to Morse Avenue, several blocks south of Marconi Avenue in October, who didn't observe that level of aggressive behavior. So what? Now this is against the turkeys' point of view. I mean, this is a he said, she said, if I've ever seen it. It is. But then they sent in a wildlife biologist. The biologist observed four turkeys actively, aggressively going after mail carriers when he got out of his mail truck, Foy said. They surround... I swear to God, this story... sounds like a Key and Peele skit. The biologist observed four turkeys actively, aggressively going after mail carriers when he got out of his mail truck, Foy said. They surrounded him. Foy said Fish and Wildlife attempted to capture some of the aggressive turkeys, but were unsuccessful. Yeah, this, I don't know, like, what do you do here? This is South Park. I swear to God. Patrick Elmore is right. He's right. Oh, nope. I almost made a big mistake there. Yeah, the turkeys are over it. You know what? The thing is that the reason why the turkeys are there is because all the people in the neighborhood are feeding the turkeys. I'm doing great, T-Bone. Half of the neighborhood was infuriated that a mailman killed a turkey. Foy said, referring to the posts on Nextdoor and other social media platforms, the other half are infuriated that somebody won't come out and get rid of all the turkeys. I got to tell you, you give some a couple of Florida crackers, a plane ticket to California, and you're like, hey, all I need you to do is bag a dozen turkeys. And your trip's paid for. You wouldn't have turkey problems in that place anymore. And I got to tell you, turkeys are actually really, really hard to hunt because you can't make any noise. Yeah, it's March. The turkeys are feeling good. Yeah, but wait till November comes around. Yeah, that you got it, Fozzie. Yeah, they're out there beating their big turkey breasts right now, thinking they're all big and bad. Just wait, October, November. Well, I mean, Iggy T, I mean, you bring up that fat bear. That fat bear is probably because of people feeding it. It's the neighbors and the community that is causing this problem with these over-aggressive turkeys. I think that this neighborhood needs to bring back stop and frisk, because if you're stopping and frisking every single turkey in this neighborhood, you're not going to have this problem. You're not going to have this problem at all. And the thing is that you really, really can't be overly aggressive with these turkeys. I mean, what if you roll up on one of these turkeys and do a stop and frisk and these turkeys aren't complying? And then some wildlife officer, California wildlife officers, put his knee on this turkey's neck, and that turkey dies? Forget about it. You know how many turkeys are going to be, like, out there turning over cars and stuff? You're going to have turkeys, like, Molotov cocktails. Turkey is just running out. You're going to have turkey on turkey violence. I mean, it's going to be bad. I mean, you don't want one turkey to get his knee. He gets choked out and he dies. And then you're going to have all these, like, little turkey chicks out there. They're going to be like, look, my dad was out there just walking around. My dad, the turkey, was out there just strutting around with his feathers, trying to pick up another chick, trying to find another baby mama. And some wildlife officer put his knee on my dad's turkey neck and choked him out. It's travesty, and I really think it's just a few bad turkeys that have led to this whole thing. And they're even, I mean, the turkeys are looking into defunding the Wildlife Commission in California. And it's just going to blow up again. It is. Then we're going to get another strain or another pandemic, and it's going to be a bird flu that's going to originate from turkeys and stuff. It's going to be bad. Like, this is going to be the thing. Like, you know, fuck Ukraine and Russia type stuff. This is all going to blow up. It's going to blow up, and it's going to be Planet of the Turkeys. We're all going to be slaves of turkeys because of one wildlife commissioner and one post office employee that put his knee on a turkey's neck, and then it's all done. Southern California, Omar Jaheen. What up, Omar? My grandma had chickens, and I fed them chicken. Look, Iggy, do not feel bad, Iggy. Iggy says, my grandma had chickens, and I fed them chicken when I was a kid. I felt so bad. Do not. Dude, yeah, pre-feed your turkey stuffing, yeah. But Iggy T, don't like feel bad about that. Turkey or chickens are one of the nastiest birds of all time. Chickens, I don't even know why everybody loves chickens so much, because chickens eat anything. Like, they don't care that they're eating another chicken. They do it. That's just the way that it is. Ugh. Man, I don't know. Like, I've always wanted to, like, speaking of chickens, vultures will be the last, yeah. I mean, I've eaten chicken breast and eggs for breakfast when I've gone on a health kick. I know it's not healthy, but, you know, you're getting protein. I made scrambled eggs and just a straight-up chicken breast, and I'm like, I'm eating the parents and the kids at the same time. I mean, the only more disrespect that I could throw towards the poultry race would to eat scrambled eggs, a balut egg. And if you don't know what a balut egg is a baby chicken that has not hatched out of the egg yet, and a chicken breast. Like, you eat all three levels of it. That would be like you eating, I don't even know if I could say that, but that would be like you eating sperm, an egg, a zygote, and then a baby. I mean, basically, what up, Roscoe, 1964? Yeah, I know. I just threw up in my mouth a bit. I mean, that's almost like it is. Anyways, I'm going to get out of here before I get myself in any trouble because, like, I don't know, like, I didn't really feel up to doing this, but now, yeah, just like the elite, yeah, I'm going to get out of here. Like, I just got in one of those moods where I went down in one of those dark alleys and I started talking about, like, defunding the Wildlife Commission in California because of some wildlife commissioner put his knee on a turkey's neck. I mean, it could, and it is going to happen, T-Bone. You know that it is. Anyways, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe. And I will talk to you tomorrow. I almost messed up. I screwed that one up.